Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is June 6, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everyone had a great week. Going to go through a list of topics for today's episode, then we'll jump right into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, NXT UK, Ring of Honor, GCW. I have predictions for the National Wrestling Alliance When Our Shadows Fall show, which is going to be taking place pretty shortly after this podcast is released. So I'm going to get my predictions out there for you. Got a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Double or Nothing 2021. And I also have the results of the latest MLW draft. So they have the third round of the draft for Major League Wrestling and some big news, some big signings out of that one. So we've got all that stuff to talk about today. Before we get started, as always, I have a show to watch on independentwrestling.tv. And my recommended show this week is Beyond Wrestling's Project Dolphin. So the company is Beyond Wrestling. The show is Project Dolphin. The show happened just a few days ago. And these are the matches to expect. We have Logan Easton LaRue versus Matt Mikowski, Willow Nightingale versus Alec Price, a submission match between Max Caster and Slade. We had Milk Chocolate, the team of Randy Summers and Brandon Watts, taking on the Goodfellas, the team of Mike Verna and Rex Lawless. We had Steve Macklin taking on Teddy Goods. We also had Steve Macklin taking on Tony Deppen. We had Deonna Purrazzo versus Masha Slamovich. We had Chris Dickinson versus Brogan Finley. We had Trisha Dora versus Aaron Rourke, and for the IWTV Independent Wrestling Championship, Wheeler Yuta defending the title against Dave Cole and former champion Lee Moriarty. So a lot of really good stuff there, a lot of great talent to highlight. Start off right off the bat, Matt Mikowski and Logan Easton LaRue, both those guys, very talented. I've been talking about Mikowski quite a bit. I talked about him a lot last week on the show as a guy that I really see as going to be one of the top technical, just solid, just in-ring wrestlers on the independents going forward. And he's a guy that I can see getting signed, probably sooner than later, just with how the progression of a lot of these guys and girls and, non-binary, we don't discriminate here on the show, but yeah, of all people, I think Matt Mikowski is going to be somebody that definitely is going to be a main event guy on the indies and or someone we see on the quote-unquote next level sooner than later, just because the talent is definitely there. And Logan Easton LaRue, very, very talented guy as well. A guy that I got to start seeing a few years ago through companies like Southern Underground Pro. Really, really talented guy. And I like that we're seeing him on the indies more often now. We had Willow Nightingale on the show. Shout out to her. I saw her in the front row during AEW last week on Dynamite. There was quite a few independent wrestlers that I noticed in the crowd. Willow was there. I noticed Cyrus the Destroyer from the Chattanooga area. I noticed him in the crowd. I think Ziggy Dice was in the crowd as well. So very interesting, because obviously if they were in the crowd for AEW, there's going to be some sort of interest to some degree for all those talents, I would imagine. So really cool to see Willow Nightingale in the crowd for AEW, and she's very talented. I've been watching her with Beyond Wrestling for quite a while, and I think she's someone who could definitely do really well at the next level. We had Max Caster on the show, somebody who most people are familiar with through AEW. I first was made aware of him through his training with Creator Wrestler, or Creator Pro. I always want to call it Creator Wrestler because of the video games, and I know that's why the play on words is there for the company, but Creator Pro, Pat Buck and Kurt Hawkins, a.k.a. Brian Myers. I know that he came through there along with guys like MJF and Smart Mark Sterling and people who are having a ton of success right now. And Max Caster, obviously a part of the acclaimed tag team for AEW. And he's a real standout performer right now for the company. I mean, I think his freestyle rapping when he comes down to the ring for his matches is really, really entertaining. I think he's great on the microphone. He's really good in the ring. He's got a good look. He's a guy that I really feel like is going to be a main event level guy for AEW down the line. And I like his partner, Anthony Bowens, as well. I just think, of the two, I think it's pretty clear that Max Caster is going to be a really big star. Bowens may be a big star as well. I just think it's really, really clear that Caster is heading that direction. So, huge shout out to Max Caster, because I am thoroughly entertained every time I see him, on my screen. Who else do we have? Steve Macklin wrestling on the show. We saw him debut this past Thursday during Impact Wrestling, which I'll talk about here in just a minute. But good to see the former Steve Cutler, out there for Beyond Wrestling and now with Impact. So really good stuff there. And Tony Deppen on the show, someone I'll talk about a little bit more when we get to the Ring of Honor results. but a guy who has been one of the best in-ring wrestlers from bell to bell on the indies for quite a while now, and a guy that is finally, in my opinion, finally getting kind of the recognition he deserves. And it's still, he's still kind of flying under the radar, to be honest. Like, we've never seen him really in, you know, AEW or WWE or anything like that. And he definitely has the talent to be doing that, but I think he's found a really good home for the moment with Ring of Honor. We also had Deonna Purrazzo on the show, obviously the Impact Knockouts champion, one of the best female wrestlers in the entire world right now, one of the best overall wrestlers of any gender, to be honest. I mean, she's really, really talented, and her ring psychology is really good. The way she works body parts, especially the way, especially the way that she works the arm to go for the Fujiwara armbar. I really like that, and yeah, I just can't stress it enough. The WWE letting Deonna slip through their fingers, that was a huge mistake. I really, like, in hindsight, because she really was, like, enhancement talent for the WWE, and then when she left, she's been nothing but, you know, fantastic, having great matches, really bringing, not necessarily bringing credibility to the Knockouts Championship, because that title really has a lot of credibility. There's been a lot of really good champions, and the division's really, really solid, but she's taken that division, in my opinion, to that next level. And, you know, she's going to be wrestling Fabi Apache for the AAA title soon at Triple Mania. So hopefully she kind of starts collecting belts as well. And I'd love to see her against Britt Baker, AEW versus Impact. You know, that's a real dream match right now for me and a lot of others, especially because they do have history with one another. So I am I'm a very, very big fan of Deonna Purrazzo. And Masha Slamovich is someone y'all need to really keep on your radar, because I could see them really... I think Slamovich is going to be someone who we see on mainstream TV soon. I don't think that Slamovich has ever done anything for AEW. If they have, it's probably on AEW Dark, I would guess. But I don't think they've ever been a part of AEW. But that's someone who I think could really, really add to the division. We also had Brogan Finley on this show. I've talked about him a little bit on The Weekender. He is the son of course, Fit Finley, and the brother of Dave Finley. And when I saw Brogan for the first time, which was, I wish I could remember the show. It was either New South out of Alabama or Action Wrestling out of Georgia, I believe. I think it was one of those two companies. But I saw his, like, literal fifth match. And this was recent. So he's still probably only has, like, 10, maybe 15 matches under his belt for his whole career. But he's so talented, so fast, and of course he comes from this incredible wrestling family that he's in there really holding his own already, which is really, really impressive. I think Brogan Finley's going to have a really big career, and it's nothing against Dave Finley, who's also had a very solid career, but I really think that Brogan is going to be the biggest star of the of those siblings, of Fitz's kids. So, and that's pretty high regards. I really think Brogan... And part of the reason I say that is because, once again, I saw his fifth match ever and was pretty impressed. I was actually really, really impressed, you know, for somebody who's only been in there five times. I mean, it was really impressive considering that. So, yeah, he's only going to get better, and he's already getting really, really good. So keep your eyes out for Brogan Finley. Chris Dickinson wrestled Brogan on the show. I'll talk about Dickinson a little bit more when it comes to the Ring of Honor results. But he's a guy that I say every time, like, I really feel for Dickinson, because a couple years ago, I'll never forget this. Like, he was going to have a huge, huge weekend over WrestleMania weekend during the pandemic. Obviously, all that got canceled. But I remember that being a really big thing, because Dickinson was going to wrestle, like, double digits amount of matches, and he was going to be heavily featured, and there was going to be a lot of eyes on him, and I really felt like he was going to get signed by WWE or AEW coming off of that weekend. I really, really felt that way. And it kind of took more of a detour now, you know, with Ring of Honor doing great stuff. He's done stuff with New Japan lately, really great stuff. And Dickinson, he really would fit in any company in the world. So I love seeing what he's doing out on the indies still. I mean, he's probably, when I think of Beyond Wrestling at this point, he's probably the first person I think of. He's really kind of become the face of that company. And, you know, it's great to see him still involved, but it's also great to see him doing more with Ring of Honor, New Japan. And, you know, at one point he was doing those UWN primetime live shows that were, like, cross-promoted with the National Wrestling Alliance. So I feel like Dickinson hasn't even really started to scratch the surface of what he's going to accomplish in wrestling, but he's also been around for a little while, you know, so it's like, I want to see him get his chance soon, but he is getting some pretty big chances right now. So he's in a good spot, but I also feel like he'd be great on, you know, national television. We also had Trisha Dora on the show. Trisha Dora is, she's one of my favorites. I think she's super talented. She gets over with all the crowds that she wrestles in front of, and she's a really good example for kids. Like, I've seen a lot of pictures of her with, like, with, you know, young kids who are, like, coming to the shows, and they become really, really big fans of her. And, you know, she's out there really representing. I mean, she's great in the ring. I've seen her in a lot of intergender matches, and she holds her own really well in those too. And it's impressive. You know, intergender wrestling is not an easy thing to pull off believably, in my opinion. It can definitely be done. Like, Trisha Dora is a great example of someone who does it very well. And there's others too. You know, like, I talk about Jordan Grace a lot and Chris Statlander. As far as, like, women I've seen out on the indies in intergender matches, Kylie Rae is another good one. I mean, there's a lot of good examples, but Trisha Dora is one of the first that I think of when it's like, who can wrestle anybody of any gender, and it's going to be good, and they're going to get over. Trisha Dora is always on my list. She's super talented. I love her finishing move, the Lariat Tubman. It's a great name. So yeah, huge shout out to Trisha Dora. She's another one that, man, I really feel like any company could really benefit from having her around. I think she would fit like a glove in Impact Wrestling's knockout division. I think she would really, really add to the AEW women's division, because that's going to really ramp up soon, I think, with Britt Baker as champion. And Trisha Dora would be a great challenger for her. So there's a lot of good options. Obviously, Trisha Dora would be great with, you know, NXT and WWE as well. It's just, it's hard to, at this point, it's hard for me to want to see people go there, only because I'm very skeptical about what they're going to do booking-wise with these talents, because the track record lately just hasn't been very good for the most part. So I'm a little worried about someone like Trish going to WWE if that were to be the case. I would feel a little more comfortable with AEW or with Impact, just because I think they'd be able to utilize her better to her abilities and keep her more true to like who she is and what she's accomplished up to this point. But Trisha Dora is someone who definitely needs to be on everyone's radar if she isn't already. I talk about the indie wrestling totem pole all the time. You know, and the names that I think, you know, are right there at the tippy top, like ready to really break out in the mainstream. And Trisha Dora is on the tippy top of that list. I think she could be incredible anywhere that she goes. And the main event, we had Wheeler Yuta, Dave Cole, and Lee Moriarty. It was great to see Dave Cole in this one, him getting a shot in there with some of the, but it's kind of some of the big dogs of the indies. Because you have Wheeler Yuta, who's the current IWTV Independent Wrestling Champion, heading into this match, and he defeated Lee Moriarty for the title. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Lee here in just a second. But really good to see Yuta with his championship. Good to see what he's done with it so far. Interesting to see, for those of you who watch the show, if he retains the title. Is it Dave Cole's moment? Does Lee get the title back? But Wheeler and Lee was probably my favorite match of the entire year when Wheeler beat Moriarty for the title just a few weeks ago. It feels like a few weeks ago. I think maybe it was last month, but it was definitely last month, or it was either in April or May. But I love what Yuta's been doing, and he's a guy who's just continually improving, getting so much better. He's a guy that I first saw, the first time I saw him wrestle was in Nashville for... Which show was it? I saw him at, it was Dojo Pro, actually. That was the first place I saw him. Studio taping in Dojo Pro, which is it's a show that's available on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out. It was a really great tournament-style show. And Yuta, that was the first time I saw Yuta, and he really, really did great in his performances there. And he's only getting better. He's another guy, when I think of Beyond Wrestling, Wheeler Yuta is one of the first names that I think of. And yeah, so check it out. Really great show, a ton of awesome talent, and Beyond Wrestling really is, it's really at the top of the independent wrestling scene as far as promotions go. I mean, there's some others that are up there too with Beyond Wrestling, but they're in that upper echelon, and these shows are fantastic. Just the presentation, everything about what Beyond Wrestling does, I really enjoy, and they have so much damn good talent that's there on a consistent basis, so... Highly recommend checking it out. Once again, recommended show this week on independentwrestling.tv is Beyond Wrestling's Project Dolphin. And if you want to check the shows out and all the other great content there on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live, use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all as one word with no space. Throw that in the promo code spot. It really, really helps me out. They sponsor my personal podcast, the Fight Talk Podcast. So it helps me and all the people involved over there if you use that code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. So do that and help me out, please. And speaking of Lee Moriarty, we had the MLW draft round 3 happen this past week. And before I get to Lee, let me just give a shout out to the other people that were drafted. So the third round, we found out Savio Vega's coming back to MLW, and so is Zenshi. We also know that Cesar Duran, who used to be Dario Cuerto, I'm so bad at saying his name, Dario Cuerto, I think it's how you pronounce it, with Lucha Underground, he now, you know, controls Savio Vega's IWA Puerto Rico, which is really, really interesting. So I feel like there's going to be more stories there between those two in season 3. But the big news coming out of this, we had two big signings for MLW. First one was Aramis, who I know mainly through AAA, and he's a really talented luchador, a guy who I think he's wrestling in Texas soon. He got some pretty big indie matches coming out, but it's really, really exciting to see him as a part of MLW. I think he's going to fit like a glove in that company. And I'm just looking forward to it. He's going to definitely add to that roster and have some really, really good matches. But for me, the biggest news coming out of this this draft for this week was the announcement of Lee Moriarty signing with MLW. Now, this is interesting for a lot of reasons. I'll just keep it real. I've alluded to it a lot, and I'll just go ahead and say it. I was told a while ago that Lee Moriarty was heading to the WWE. Now, this was a little surprising when I saw he had signed with MLW. Now, once again, my sources are not always correct, but I was given his name along with a few others, and the few others have wound up where I was told they were heading. So it's one of these things where it's got me really thinking, like, is that WWE and MLW partnership happening? Because especially if some of these other names that I'm hearing wind up signing to MLW and not going to the WWE like I was hearing they're going to, that's going to be a really big sign for me to say, oh, hey, there has to be something going on, because there's no way my sources are going to be wrong about like 6 different people that all wind up in the same place. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, Lisa, that's a really big one for me, because either something happened to where like MLW is a better fit and that's where he wound up, or maybe there is a situation where the WWE is sending certain guys over to MLW initially, and then they'll bring them over after a certain amount of time to the WWE. I don't know. I'm speculating for the most part, but like I said, I had sources tell me a little while back that they had heard that Lee was heading to the WWE. And then there was a lot of speculation about what was going to happen for him when he lost the IWTV championship to Wheeler Yuta. So, you know, we'll see where this all goes. But that all being said, MLW, this is a great, great, great fit for Lee Moriarty, and it is a super smart signing for MLW. He, in my opinion, is the best in-ring wrestler on the independents right now. And I know I'm not alone in saying that. He's a guy who has a lot of buzz about him right now, has a lot of incredible matches, and he works his ass off. He's wrestling everywhere, and he is going to be such a great fit for Major League Wrestling. I can't wait to see what he does. I can't wait for there to be more eyes on him, because as popular as he's been on the indie scene lately, he really only started hitting people's radars like a year or so ago, I want to say. Like, he just kind of came out of nowhere and just kind of took over, because his style was so different than what most people were doing, and his presence and the way that he carries himself, and, you know, he wears a mask out to the ring, but then takes it off, and he's got the headphones and the whole thing. He's unique. He's original, which is, you know, usually a really, really great thing. In his case, it's a fantastic thing. And then he gets in the ring, his style is totally different than most people. His technical wrestling is as good as it gets, but he can also do high flying and a whole bunch of other stuff. Very charismatic, great facial expressions while he's, you know, selling moves and stuff. The way he chain wrestles and the creativity of going from one move into another move that you just never thought could be done the way he does it. I can't say enough good things about Lee Moriarty. So I'm very, very, very happy to see him with Major League Wrestling. And they are putting together an awesome, awesome roster so far for the next season of Major League Wrestling. I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, but and when you got names like Moriarty, when you got people like Tom Lawler coming back, I'm hoping they get Calvin Tankman again. You've got Davey Richards coming back or coming in to debut soon. I mean, they have so much damn good talent with MLW. So I'm looking forward to seeing who the future signings wind up being for MLW for this next season. But they're doing a great job signing the right people and getting this all geared up for Vice TV. So huge shout out to MLW, huge shout out to Lee Moriarty and everybody else who's been signed to MLW recently, because once again, they're putting together an awesome roster for this next season. And man, it's one of those things where if Lee wasn't signed to the WWE before, you better believe there's going to be a ton of interest in him whenever his MLW contract is up. Like, I cannot see a scenario, unless he loves MLW and he just wants to stay there, which is fine too, but I just do not see a scenario where he goes to MLW and then his contract runs up and then, like, the WWE and or AEW aren't just jumping all over him. Because I know there was interest for Ring of Honor as well a while back, but I personally think, well, I shouldn't say that. I think he would be an incredible fit for Ring of Honor because of their Pure division, but because that exists in Ring of Honor, he wouldn't be quite as unique, I don't think, as he's going to be in MLW, if that makes sense. Like, you know, Lee's unique and he's his own person and does his own thing, but you do have a lot of other wrestlers like Tracy Williams, Jonathan Gresham, Freddie Yehi. You know, you got a lot of guys over in Ring of Honor who work somewhat similar to the way Lee does. But Lee can really, really stand out in Major League Wrestling. And yeah, once again, huge news, huge signing, love it. Moving on, we have results for Impact Wrestling. So, if y'all want to check this show out live every week, myself and Joel Pearl go on the Fightful Twitch channel, Fightful or twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. That's where you can find us. We show the actual show live on the screen, and it's me and him, and we always have a revolving third. A lot of times Jeremy Lambert joins us, and then we have like special guests come on every week. And it was a lot of fun this past week. We had Cam on, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. So if you want to, you know, ever kick it with us on Thursdays, I highly recommend coming and, you know, hanging out during the show. We talk about Impact Wrestling, but we also talk about life and just kind of hang out, talk to the chat. It's a lot of fun. And of course, the show this week started with Iron Man match. It was, you know, before the show on the pre-show on BTI, they had an incredible, incredible Iron Man match where Josh Alexander defeated TJP. And the match actually went into overtime. So it bled into the first like 10 minutes or so of Impact. And yeah, it was awesome. It was one of the best matches of the entire year. It was the best match I've seen Impact do all year for sure. And you know, there's other matches. I mean, it might be the best match of any company all year. It really might. I mean, it was really that good. And Josh Alexander got the win there, which is exactly what I think everyone was wanting. TJP looked really great in defeat in that one. And yeah, just really, really great stuff. Alexander ultimately wound up getting the win with a J-Driller for the 1-2-3 right at the end. But incredible stuff. I can't say enough good things about those two. In the match is on... online right now. You can check it out for free. I believe it's available on YouTube on Impact Wrestling's channel. So just go check it out. I mean, go watch it. It's an hour of incredibly solid wrestling and honestly the best stuff I've seen Impact do all year in the ring. So, and then that's high praise because they've had a lot of good matches, but this one definitely takes the cake. As far as the actual show is concerned, the first match we had was Jake Something defeating Rohit Raju in a tables match. Got the win by spearing Raju through the table in the corner. Very Rhino style. That's all I can think of when I see that. I always think spear through the table, or, you know, technically a gore through the table. I always think of Rhino when I see that, because he's probably the first person I saw doing that, you know, back when he was in ECW. And, you know, maybe this will lead to something with Jake versus Rhino. I have no idea. But Jake hit the spear really good this week, because the other week he actually did this, and he wound up kind of going through the table more than his opponent did. So it was good to see him hit it clean this time. I'm a big fan of Jake Something. I'm a big fan of Rohit Raju. So I really like seeing these guys against each other. And it was the right call, in my opinion, to have Jake Something win this one, continue up, you know, with his momentum, hopefully to kind of bigger and better things. And then hopefully they can pivot Raju to something where, you know, maybe it's more tag team stuff with him and Shira. I'm not sure, but they need to find a way to utilize Raju because he's really, really talented. I really liked his run as the X Division champion and feel like it was a little too short of a run. So I want to see more from both guys, but, you know, big win for Jake, and Raju, he didn't really get hurt too bad in this loss. You know what I mean? After that, we had what was supposed to be W. Morrissey versus Rich Swann. But before the match, Willie Mack comes in and, well, Morrissey attacks Rich Swann first, and then Willie Mack comes out with a chair for the save. So we found out, I believe it's next week, they're going to be doing Willie Mack versus W. Morrissey. And at Against All Odds, they're going to be doing Rich Swann versus W. Morrissey. So it's going to be tough for Willie Mack because he's probably going to get beat down again. This happened during the Moose and Rich Swann feud as well, where Willie Mack was basically just the guy they beat down over and over, which led to like Rich doing, you know, the big match against whoever was beating the hell out of Willie Mack. So a lot of similarities kind of there with the story. I like Morrissey a lot. I like Rich Swann a lot. I like Willie Mack a lot. I just hope they figure out what the hell to do with Willie Mack once this is all done, because he's just been so lost in the shuffle, and he's really just played second fiddle to Rich Swann for a long time now, and at some point, I feel like he's just going to snap and turn on Swann. So hopefully that's what we wind up getting at Slammiversary, is Willie Mack versus Rich Swann, but we'll see if it all plays out that way. Regardless, I am looking forward to W. Morrissey versus Rich Swann at Against All Odds. After that, we had a Knockouts tag team title match. Fire and Flavor retained the titles over Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering. The finish came when... Tasha... Well, actually, it was Kiera had Jordynne in like a rear naked choke on the ground, and then kind of like rolled along. Like, it's really hard to explain, but Tasha came off the top rope with like a frog splash while Kiera had Jordynne in the rear naked choke. So it came off really, really well. I like the finish a lot, and you know, at some point I feel like it's pretty obvious, but either Jordynne's got to turn on Rachel or Rachel's got to turn on Jordynne, and it's going to have to happen soon. And I hope the two of them have a really great match at either Against All Odds or Slammiversary, like one-on-one, settle the score. But, you know, I love them as tag team champions. I think they're an awesome tag team. I just feel like the direction they're heading with it is them splitting. And I feel like that's going to have to happen sooner than later, because I don't want to see them going out there and losing over and over, which is what has been happening lately. I think both Jordynne and Rachel are just too talented and too much of a, you know, potential long-term stars for Impact, that I feel like they just shouldn't be taking so many losses. And hopefully that changes soon and they figure out what to do. But that being said, Fire and Flavor is a great tag team. I have nothing against them being the Knockouts tag team champions at all. But they do need to figure out what to do with Rachel and Jordynne, which I'm sure they have a plan for. But I want to see that plan starting to be put in motion, like, as soon as like next week, if possible. After that, we had Kojima defeating Diener. This was good stuff. It was great to see Kojima in the Impact Wrestling ring. Diener's very, very solid. He's actually been underrated for a long time. He really flew under the radar as Cousin Jake, as a Cody Diener, and of course Cousin Jake was Jake something. But Cody Diener, you know, even when he was doing that stuff, I was saying, like, man, he's actually way better than I think people realize. You know, it was just kind of a gimmick that, you know, had a ceiling where, you know, it had a ceiling to it. So hopefully Diener, you know, he's doing great stuff with Violent by Design. So like he's still very much like in the mix, and it's great to see Kojima, you know, get this win and doing bigger and better things with Impact. And I'm really looking forward to Kojima versus Joe Doering at Against All Odds. All Japan versus New Japan style. It is going to be awesome, hard-hitting, strong style. Can't wait for that matchup. Moving on, we had the main event of the show. We had Sami Callihan taking on Moose in the main event, and this one ended in double DQ when the Good Brothers came out and beat down both guys. The story afterwards was we had Don Callis, Scott D'Amore talking, and what it seems like they're going to be doing, and they basically announced it at the end of the show, that we're going to get, instead of just Moose versus Kenny for the title at Against All Odds, it will now be Sami Callihan, Moose, and Kenny in a three-way, which I either really, really like that idea or I really, really hate that idea. It's going to be depending on what they wind up going with for Slammiversary afterwards. So the way that I see it is, this is a win if they do Sami Callihan, Moose, and Kenny at Against All Odds, and, you know, Kenny pins Sami, right? As long as at Slammiversary we get Moose versus Kenny one-on-one, then I'm totally fine with how this is playing out. If it winds up being Sammy Callahan and Kenny one-on-one at Slammiversary, I don't like that at all. If it winds up being someone like Eddie Edwards versus Kenny at Slammiversary, which is something I figured they may do, I don't like that either. They need to give Moose and Kenny a one-on-one match for the title, because Moose has been built better than anybody in Impact, by far, to potentially beat Kenny for that title. Whether he beats Kenny or not, I don't know, but he needs to have a one-on-one match with Kenny. So, like, once again, it seems like at Against All Odds, it's going to be Callahan and Moose and Kenny in a triple threat, and then hopefully what it seems like we'll get is Moose versus Kenny one-on-one at Slammiversary for the title. So if we get that, I'm fine with all of this. That said, really, really good episode of Impact Wrestling today, or on Thursday. Really, really good this week. Thoroughly enjoyed it during the watch-along. Went back and rewatched some of the stuff later on before I recorded the show. And yeah, really, really solid, especially when you take into account the hour-long Iron Man match before the show technically started. So really good stuff from Impact this week. Also, before I move on to the next set of results, I want to tell y'all real quick, since tonight is Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather in boxing, and I forgot to mention at the top of the show, myself and Sean Ross Sapp will be live on the Fightful YouTube channel to do a watch-along. Obviously, we can't show the actual fight, but we'll be there hanging out, commentating a little bit, giving our thoughts during the spectacle of the event. So join us tonight. The pay-per-view starts at 8, but we won't go live until the actual main event of Paul versus Mayweather. So I don't know what time that'll be. If I had to guess, maybe around like 10 p.m. or something. I'm really not sure, but just stay tuned. If you're following me and Sean on Twitter, we'll definitely make sure to put links out when we're going to be going live. So join us for that tonight. It should be a lot of fun. At the very least, it should be entertaining to some degree. Moving on with some more results, we had 205 Live this week. Started off with Ari Sterling defeating Sunil Singh. Really good match. I'm a very big fan of Ari Sterling. I was a very big fan of his when he was Alex Zane on the Indies. I'm a big fan of his. I actually first found out about him through Resolute Wrestling, which is in Tennessee. I think Crossville, Tennessee, I think is the area. But my friend John Mosley, my co-host on my Fight Talk podcast, when I do the MMA show every week, Mose actually told me about Ari Sterling years ago, because I remember Ari was wrestling as Alex Zane for Resolute, and it's been great to see him really come into his own. And he's a guy who is deceptively large. Like, he wrestles like a very small, kind of like high-flying cruiserweight, but he's actually a pretty big dude. Like, he could do a lot on, you know, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, like any show, because like he won't even be having that stigma of like he's too short. So I'm very excited to see the future for Ari Sterling, and they're definitely pushing him heavily. And speaking of heavy pushes, the main event of this show, which was also a really good match, two very, very solid matches this week, as has been per usual for 205 Live. We had August Grey defeating Ari Daivari. Really good match. Got the win with the So Much Prettier, the unprettier that he does when he like walks up the ropes. Really good stuff. And, you know, when I say, you know, strong pushes, August Grey, it's pretty clear that August Grey is being positioned for the next big cruiserweight title shot. He's the former champion. Kushida has been doing an open challenge on NXT, and I would not be surprised if the next, you know, big challenger for him for the cruiserweight title is August Grey. He's been built really well. He really seems like the next guy up. And I think they're going to continually build Sterling just a little bit slower, but he will eventually get that big shot at the title. And they're also planting seeds for Ari Sterling and Asher Hale potentially going one-on-one again. They've wrestled each other before, but before the match, Asher Hale asked Ari Sterling if he wanted him to come out to ringside with him, because, you know, the Singh brothers, there's always both of them out there. And Ari turned him down and won anyways. Got the win with the Baja 86, forgot to mention that, but it's basically his sidewalk slam front flip that he does. Pretty cool move, but I definitely prefer the spiral tap that he used last week off the top rope as a finisher. But still, you know, the Baja 86 is still a really unique move that I've never seen anyone but him ever do. So really good stuff from 205 Live again this week. I'm looking forward to more progression between Sterling and Hale, because those are really the next two guys up after August Grey, in my opinion. And once again, this did a really good job of establishing August Grey as the next potential contender for Kushida. Do I think August Grey is going to beat Kushida for the Cruiserweight title? No, I don't. Do I think Ari Sterling will? I think he has a chance. I think of anybody who's currently on 205 Live, Ari Sterling probably has the best chance of being the guy to beat Kushida right now. And also that said, I think Asher Hale will be a fantastic option too. I mean, I'm very, very high on both Sterling and Hale. A lot of great talent in 205 Live. I've been saying it every week, but like, if you just want a solid half hour of wrestling, like this is the show for you. For anybody out there that's like down on the WWE and they're like, they hate what they see on Raw and they maybe don't watch SmackDown, or, you know, they're AEW fans, they're not really that interested in NXT. I know they're on different days this week, you know, nowadays, but like, you know the point I'm trying to make. There's kind of a line in the sand with a lot of fans. Either they like NXT or they like AEW. If you want to watch WWE programming, the show I'd recommend the most to anybody, if you want to just watch solid wrestling, is 205 Live. You're guaranteed two really good matches. It's a half hour long. It's really digestible. It's really fun to watch. And you get to see kind of the next group of like upcoming stars through the brand. And I'd say this something very similar about NXT UK. Those are the two shows I would say, you know, WWE fans or fans of wrestling that want to watch like actual pro wrestling, just solid pro wrestling, watch 205 Live and watch NXT UK. And of course, speaking of NXT UK, we have the results for this week. Show started off with Ilya Dragunov defeating Noam Dar. Really good match. Both guys are super, super talented. I've said it many times before. If Walter wasn't on NXT UK, Dragunov would probably be the guy that I would have as like that long-term champion for NXT UK. Like it's really like Walter is, you know, is like, if you have like the alphabet, like as rankings, Walter is A. Dragunov is like A minus. Like it's like so close. Like he really could be that guy for them if Walter wasn't there. And that's not to say I don't enjoy Walter. I think Walter is the perfect champion for NXT UK. But Dragunov is just in this position where he's like right below the champion and has been really since the two of them wrestled last year. In my opinion, the best match of all of 2020, which was Dragunov versus Walter, in my opinion. I thoroughly really love that match. This match here, Dragunov gets the win when Noam Dar is going for the Nova Roller, his finisher, but Dragunov catches him in his own finisher, the Torpedo Moscow, for the win. So good match, good finish, great talent, no problem at all with any of that. After that, we had the NXT UK tag team titles on the line. Pretty Deadly retained the belts by defeating Jack Starrs and Nathan Frazer. I always have a hard time saying Frazer's name because I think it's technically Frazer is how they say it, but I'm always going to say Frazer probably, but I'll do my best. But the former Ben Carter, who is now Nathan Frazer. Good match. A lot of really good talent. Not surprised at all to see Pretty Deadly retain here. They got the win with their Spilt Milk finisher for the 1-2-3. I'd really see more of a future with Nathan as a singles wrestler. But if they're going to have him team with Stars a little bit, team with maybe some other people, give him something to do, I'm fine with that too. But I think he really shines best as a singles wrestler. And I'd like to see him more heavily pushed as a singles wrestler, which is what they had been doing up to this point. But no problem here. I mean, predictable finish, or predictable result, I should say, because I don't think anybody would expect Pretty Deadly to lose to the team of Frazer and Stars. So no problem there. Once again, Pretty Deadly, I think they're pretty good. I'm not, like, super huge on them, but, like, they're pretty good. They do a pretty good job. But, like, of the four people in that match, I think Nathan Frazer is, like, he is the star of those four, in my opinion. After that, we had Joseph Connors defeating Flash Morgan Webster. Got the one with the Hangman neckbreak for the 1-2-3. This was a good match, you know, for what it was. I like both these guys a lot. I really like Flash Morgan. I really like his tag team with South Wales Subculture with him and Mark Andrews. And Joseph Connors has been doing really well lately. I like his team with his pairing with Jenny a lot. I think it's done a lot for both the two of them. And Connors is a guy that I remember during the initial NXT UK, like the initial tournament that Tyler Bate wound up winning to become the inaugural champion. I remember Joseph Connors was in that tournament and he was like really hyped up and he had some really good showings. And I thought he was going to be like one of the top guys on the brand going forward. He got kind of lost in the mix, but you know, more recently, especially since his pairing with Jenny, doing really good stuff, been more part of the show and getting some big wins. So no problems with any of that. We got a pretty good video package hyping up Kaylee Ray's rematch against Sada Mora for the NXT UK Women's Championship. That match is going to be next week. And I am calling Sada Mora to become the champion. I think she wins the rematch. And then maybe we get a rubber match at the next big NXT UK special. But I think that it's just, I like Kaylee Ray as champion a lot. I think she's done a great job with the belt. I would have no problem with her beating Sada Mora, but I just feel like if they're going to do Sotomayor now, like that's the reason. Like why would you have her go 0-2 against Kaylee Ray if you know what I mean? Especially this soon, because they wrestled each other not that long ago for the title. So Sotomayor, I think, is definitely the right person to get the title shot. And of everybody on the roster, especially at the point now where Kaylee Ray's just kind of like running out of challengers, I think the time is now to put the belt on Sotomayor. And it's wild because like I remember seeing her wrestle in WCW back in like the late 90s. I mean, she's been around forever, Sotomayor. So it'd be cool to see her get this win and get this title. Once again, wouldn't have any issue at all with Kaylee Ray retaining, but I am going to choose Sotomayor for next week. And then in the main event, we had a just great hard-hitting back-and-forth matchup between two dudes who, you know, just went out there trying to kill each other. We had Joe Coffey defeating Rampage Brown. This was the second match they'd had against each other. Rampage won the first one. Joe Coffey wins this one here, the second matchup between the two. And the finish came when Joe was, he counters a doctor bomb, and then he hits two Glasgow send-offs, and then hits his finisher, all the best for the Bells, to get the 1-2-3. Kind of a surprising ending, or result, I should say, because I did expect Rampage Brown to win again because of the trajectory he's been on, but also not really surprising considering Joe Coffey has always been at that upper echelon of NXT UK, a guy who is consistently in the main event, obviously he has his stable, and he's doing really good things, and he is definitely one of the better guys on NXT UK. I just saw Rampage Brown as maybe just a little bit higher level on like the food chain at the moment, but Joe Coffey getting that win, good for him, good match, no problem at all with any of this. I really enjoyed it, and after the match, Rampage and Joe are talking, and they show some respect to one another. And, you know, it looks like they're both down for a trilogy. So they'll, you know, have a third match against one another, which I really want to see. But Dragunov winds up coming out, and then the three of them are facing off at the end of the show, which, you know, if we're going to get Dragunov versus Joe Coffey versus Rampage Brown, especially if the winner of that is the number one contender and gets to wrestle Walter, I'm all for it, because all three of these guys have had a chance for the NXT UK title, and Walter has beaten all three of these guys. So, you know, why not have one of them run it back? Because all three of those matches were really good, especially the Dragunov match. So that's the one that I want to see the most. I really want to see Dragunov and Walter rematch, but I would not mind at all if we got Joe Coffey or Rampage Brown. But I feel like Dragunov's got to be the right pick if that's the route that they're going to go with this triple threat. But once again, solid episode of NXT UK. Highly recommend it once again. If you want to watch some WWE, watch 205 Live in NXT UK. I feel like if you're a fan of professional wrestling, you will not be disappointed. Moving on, we have results for Ring of Honor. Show started off with LSG defeating Joe Keys. Got the win. It was pretty cool. So, like, they were doing some mat wrestling, and they LSG winds up like rolling through a half Nelson on the ground into a crucifix pin to get the 1-2-3. So really good match. You know, solid match. This match actually got set up last week because the two of them were the last two standing in a battle royal to wrestle each other this week, and he got to choose if he wanted to join the Pure Division or go after the TV title. And LSG actually chose the Pure Division, which I think is a good choice for him, especially considering his style and what he's been doing lately. So LSG over Joe Keys, and I'm looking forward to the future of LSG of, you know, competing in the Pure Division. And then the only other match we had on this show was a really, really fun 8-man tag. We had Violence Unlimited, the team of Brody King, Tony Deppen, Chris Dickinson, and Homicide, defeating the team of the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham, Jay Lethal, Rhett Titus, and Tracy Williams. Really enjoyed this. Just a ton of talent in this one. The finish was really good. Basically, Jay Lethal is going for the lethal injection, and when he's, you know, doing his springboard off of the ropes, he kicks Homicide off the ring apron, and when he bounces back to try to hit the cutter, Brody King winds up catching him almost like a torture rack position, almost like a burning hammer position, really. And then turns it into his gonzo bomb to get the pin on Lethal. And then after the match, Violence Unlimited is kind of like keeping the Foundation away from Lethal. So really good storytelling here. Really good match. A ton of really good talent. Really, really like the finish. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, I love that Homicide's still out there doing his, you know, Tope Suicida front flips through the ropes and stuff to the outside. I mean, it's just, it's really cool. And to see guys like Deppin and Dickinson, who I talked about at the top of the show, getting more and more exposure with Ring of Honor. These are all great things. I'm a big fan of all eight of these competitors. Awesome stuff. And similar to 205 Live, Ring of Honor is a show where, like, if you just want to watch some solid wrestling, I'd highly recommend watching it. You can watch it for free off of their website. And I heard Sean Ross Sapp talking about it in a recent interview. Like, I think he was talking to EC3 about it, but Ring of Honor, it just makes sense. Like, the stories make sense. The matches are good. So it flies a bit under the radar still, but once again, it's very similar to 205 Live. If you just want to watch some solid wrestling, Ring of Honor has really been delivering lately, and they have a really, really fun roster. So shout out to Ring of Honor. Thoroughly enjoyed this episode again this week. Moving on, I got some quick results for you for the latest GCW show, Tournament of Survival. We had the top of the show, Nick Gage comes out to the ring, and he calls out Matt Cardona, and his music plays and everything, but he's not there. And Gage says he's going to go find Cardona, doesn't care where he's at, and I love that this is still happening. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, with Matt Cardona, I've said it, you know, when he left WWE, ever since, you know, popping up in AEW and Impact, and now he's working some indies, it really feels like we're watching WWE Matt Cardona. But if he was to do a deathmatch against Nick Gage, that is the best way you could possibly get people like myself to change their perception of him, especially if the match winds up being really good. So, yeah, really interesting stuff, and it's pretty clear at some point they're going to definitely do Nick Gage versus Matt Cardona. There's no way they're going to build it this much and just not do anything with it. So, very interested there. As far as the results, I'll go through the first round matches, the semifinals, and then the finals. So, in the first round, we had G Raver over Effie, Atticus Kogar over Manders, Nolan Edward over Orion Veidt. We had a... for the Ultraviolent Championship, which was defended throughout this tournament. Alex Colon retained the title by defeating Bam Sullivan. We had a six-way scramble match where Ninja Mac defeated Calvin Tankman, Starboy Charlie, Jack Cartwheel, Dante Leon, and Dylan McKay. I am a big fan of everybody involved in this match. Calvin Tankman I talk about all the time with MLW and even what he's doing on the indies pre-MLW. Starboy Charlie's been on my radar since he was like 16 years old. He's 18 now, I believe, but I mean, the guy's been wrestling professionally since he was a literal teenager, and he's only going to keep getting better. Jack Cartwheel is a guy that popped on the scene out of nowhere, and shout out to Deshaun's 2 cents, the hot tub guy. I believe, at least he says this, I think he's telling the truth. I think he's the one who actually told GCW about Jack Cartwheel, and he's been going out there and just showing out. Dylan McKay, really good, brings something different to the table, great in the ring, different type of presence. I like him a lot. Dante Leon, another just one of these next-level high flyers. Like, him, Cartwheel, and Ninja Mac especially, like, these guys are, like, just doing stuff like I've never seen before, which is really hard to accomplish because I feel like I've seen everything at this point, and they're still doing this next-level stuff, which brings me, once again, to Ninja Mac. I mean, it's incredible. This Ninja Mac is my favorite high flyer in the business right now. The stuff he's doing is just so outside of the box. So huge shout out to everyone involved in the six-way scramble match. If you don't watch anything else throughout the rest of the show, and this show is, you know, there's a lot of stuff for a lot of different types of fans throughout this one, but this scramble match was nuts, and the talent involved just insane. Then we get to the semifinals of the tournament. We had Atticus Kogar defeating G Raver. And then the other semifinal, we had Alice Colon retaining the Ultraviolent Championship over Nolan Edward. We had AJ Gray over Kit Osborne. And then in the finals, to crown the winner of the Tournament of Survival and also, you know, the GCW Ultraviolent Championship on the line, we had Alice Colon retaining the title by defeating Atticus Kogar in the finals to win the whole thing. So, big win for Alice Colon. I mean, he really has become, like, the main face of deathmatch wrestling lately, and of course Nick Gage as well. I mean, so you have Nick Gage as the GCW champion, we have Alice Colon as the Ultraviolent champion with the Ultraviolent Championship. So it's like those are the two guys right now that I think about first when it's like deathmatch wrestling: Nick Gage, Alice Colon. So really, really good stuff. If you're a fan of deathmatches, I mean, this is absolutely for you. If you aren't, I would probably veer away from it. But I mean, you're going to see some really great storytelling. You're going to see some really great stuff that like you've never seen before. But I also understand people who don't want to dip their toes into that type of wrestling. I totally understand. But if you want some, good stuff, and there's a lot of really, really, really good talent. Like I talk about Nolan Edward all the time. He's a guy that I know 100% for sure. There's a lot of interest at the next level on him. Atticus Kogar, I think, is going to be a massive star in wrestling. Some of these guys are just going to depend on if they want to, you know, keep in the deathmatch scene or if they want to veer more out into like the mainstream. So we'll see what happens with most of the talent, but they've all got a really great spot in GCW. So, you know, great card there from GCW. And once again, shout out to Tournament of Survival winner Alex Colon, and also shout out to Atticus Kogar. He's just one of my favorites in the game right now. All right, real quick, because the show is going to be starting pretty much right when I upload this, I'm going to just fire through my NWA When Our Shadows Fall predictions. If you want detailed predictions, myself and Jeff Meacham did them on his YouTube channel yesterday, and I'm just going to give you my my winners right now. So I'm going to take Fred Rosser over JTG, mainly because of the consistency within the NWA. JTG's making his debut for the promotion. Rosser's been there, like, really doing, in my opinion, the best work of his career, as of late. So I'm going to say Rosser gets the win there. I'm going to take the team of Sal Lanaro and Sam Rudo to win the tag team four-way match over Mecha Wolf, Bestia 666, Marche Rocket, and Slice Boogie, and the team of The End, Otis and Impero. If it was my call, like I would say The End. Like I'd like to see Odinson and Pero get the win and become the number one contenders for the titles. But because of the story, I think it just makes the most sense for Sal and Sam to win this one. So I'm going to go with them. After that, I've got Thunder Rosa and Melina defeating Taryn Terrell and Kylie Rae. It's great to see Kylie Rae back involved. Hopefully it's all good with her. I know she's been working some indies lately, and you know, I hope she's in a good kind of spot in her life to where like she can come back, get more involved in wrestling again, and really do her thing, because she's a great person, she has a huge fan base, and she's a great wrestler. And Taryn Terrell, we hadn't seen much of. I mean, she's pretty much coming right into the NWA. She hasn't really been on my radar a whole lot since her time in TNA, so I mean, it's been a while. Melina and Thunder Rosa, they've been beefing lately. My kind of thought on this one is Thunder Rosa and Melina win, and then Melina beats up Thunder Rosa afterwards to set up a one-on-one match between the two. I could also see someone turning during the match, but for the sake of, you know, predictions, I'm going to take Thunder Rosa and Melina to win here. We have a non-title match where the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, is going to wrestle Tyrus, who's going to have Austin Idol in his corner. I'm going to say Tyrus wins because it is non-title. I am not a fan of Tyrus in the ring. I'm a big fan of Austin Idol, though. I like him a lot as far as like what he does as a manager and a commentator and stuff, especially, of course, you know, within the NWA. If it was up to me, the Pope would win this 10 out of 10 times. I just feel like because it's non-title, Tyrus is going to win, and that's going to set up another match between the two for the title at a later day, so I'm going to take Tyrus as my prediction. For the tag team titles, I'm going to say Strictly Business, the team of Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis, win the tag team titles by defeating Aaron Stevens and Kratos, as well as the War Kings, Crimson and Jack Stane. And you're going to see even more why I'm taking them as we do the next two predictions here. So I've got Strictly Business winning the tag belts. The NWA Women's Championship, I'm taking Camille to defeat Serena Deeb to become the champion. In my opinion, Serena Deeb might be the best female wrestler in the world right now. Like, she really might be. I'm very, very high on her, and I loved her match against Riho at Against All Odds. Or at Against All Odds, that's the Impact show. At Double or Nothing. So I'm a big fan of Serena Deeb. I love she's doing the Women of 1,000 Holds thing. And Dean Malenko's endorsing it, which I just think is great, and it fits her perfectly. But the writing's on the wall. I mean, it's Camille's time. This has been built up for a long time. She has been built up very well. She's improved drastically over the last couple years. I saw her first ever match, I think, with the NWA when I was in Nashville. So, like, and I know she debuted not long before that. So, you know, she was Nick Aldis's insurance policy, you know, when she came in and everything. So I'm going to say Camille wins the championship. It just makes the most sense. And I'd like to see the Forbidden Door opened a little bit up, you know, for Camille, because I'd like to see her in other promotions, because she definitely brings, you know, something different to the table. And she really checks all the boxes. She's good in the ring. She looks great. She's got a great presence. She's great on the mic. I mean, she really could be a great champion. And hopefully Serena Deeb gets to do more with AEW going forward. And then the main event of the show for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, I'm going to take Nick Aldis to retain the title over Trevor Murdoch. I like the matchup a lot. I like the story. I like Murdoch in NWA. He fits the company so well, himself being, you know, this throwback type wrestler trained by Harley Race and all that. But I just feel like the title reign for Nick Aldis will not end from Trevor Murdoch. And at the end of the show, you know, we'd have, but if my predictions are correct, we'd have Nick Aldis as the heavyweight champ, we'd have Camille as the women's champ, and we'd have Strictly Business as the tag team champions. So, you know, big night potentially for Strictly Business at the end of the night, bunch of people holding titles and all that stuff. So we'll see. But those are my official predictions for NWA When Our Shadows Fall. And before we get out of here, quick recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Double or Nothing 2021. There isn't really a whole lot to talk about with this episode, to be honest, so I'm going to kind of rifle through it. Because there was a lot of highlights and stuff like surrounding, surrounding Double or Nothing. The show started off with the Young Bucks. They basically just keep buying a bunch of Nike shoes, right? I mean, that's like their gimmick right now, is just buying these just overly expensive shoes, a bunch of pairs of them. We had a few different trick shots from Nick Jackson, which I obviously can't do justice for in the audio version of this, but he's been hitting some nice shots. I'll give him his credit. We had Kenny Omega backstage. He was supposed to go out and do the announcement for the AEW Wrestling Buddies, but he wouldn't go out and do it until he got a swish on a toy basketball hoop. And he was apparently back there for like over 10 minutes trying to make the basket. So they're just out there stalling for him to come out. But he's like, I'm not coming out until I make this basket. And thought that was pretty funny. We got some footage of the AEW Fan Fest, the new Wrestling Buddies, their new action figures, all that stuff. We had Brandon Cutler, who is the new BTE champion. He puts the title on the line against Ryan Nemeth for his first defense. They do desktop basketball, which is like just a little finger basketball game where you like flick a ball up into the thing and you try to make it into a little hoop. Brandon Cutler winds up winning the competition and retaining the BTE championship. We have more footage of Kenny Omega just shooting hoops in the back, you know, while Double or Nothing's happening. And we also get clips of the Young Bucks against Mox and Kingston, which in my opinion was the best match of the night on Double or Nothing. We had Nick Jackson. He was cutting a promo in the locker room, just basically just really, really happy that they got their sneakers back after the Mox and Kingston match. They show footage at an airport where Rick Knox receives some money from the Young Bucks, and they don't want anyone to know what's happening. So you can tell that they're kind of like, Rick Knox is kind of almost their Nick Patrick from like the NWO days, maybe like the crooked referee that helps the Young Bucks out and helps out the rest of the Elite. So interesting to see that. And then this wrapped up with Matt Hardy cutting a promo on Christian Cage, basically saying he was really pissed off because, you know, the two of them were going to work together to eliminate Jungle Boy from the Casino Battle Royale. That didn't happen. Jungle Boy wound up winning the whole thing, but Christian turned on Matt Hardy before that happened. And he basically hypes up Private Party, saying that the two of them are like way better than they were, you know, before he started managing them. And he talks about how Edge and Christian would have been nothing if it wasn't for the Hardy Boys. So good promo here between, or for Matt Hardy and also Private Party for the stuff that they got to say and, you know, their mannerisms and stuff throughout the promo. And they basically say that they plan on, you know, beating up Christian going forward. So, and we also started to see more of that on Dynamite, because of course this came out on Monday, Dynamite was Wednesday, and I'm talking about it now on a Sunday. So that's going to do it for the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Once again, join us tonight, myself and Sean Ross Sapp, watching Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul. Should be a spectacle at the very least. And yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.